You were not recording?
It was on pause. It's recording now.
All right, 5:18:25. This is a teaching called No Limits. We're going to go back and read. This is Luke 23:44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood far off, beholding these things. Okay. On that day, God became accessible to us with no limits, no longer bound in a box of religious traditions. Now he could live in his true temple, the hearts of men, and accomplish his will in the earth. Men were so steeped in religious traditions at that time, they could not receive the message that Jesus was bringing. And Jesus said this. This is Mark chapter 1. Verses 14 and 15. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent means to think differently or reconsider. Acts 10:38, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He filled with the Holy Ghost and power to do so. Okay, Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's that repentance. Repent, to think differently. Reconsider. Jesus did all these miracles before the eyes of the religious leaders of his day, and few considered. But most of them became enraged because their organized system was in jeopardy. I think that's similar to what's going on today. Before anyone can receive the new birth, repentance must come. There has to be a mindset change, a reconsideration to receiving. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So that's a massive step here. The word that we had about getting on that altar, submitting to the will of God, finding out what the will of God is for you. You come to a place of repentance where you're saying, Lord, I no longer have a life. My life is now your life. And what would you have me do? And doing it. From outward to inward is what happened. God was limited in a box. The priest came in once a year, did a sacrifice. That's it. He's lonely. He didn't like that. He didn't want that. He didn't do what happened in the garden. God moved out of the Holy of Holies into the hearts of men. This is a process as we renew our minds with God's Word. We learn to let Him do what He wants to do by this process. Look how long it's taken us coming up through religious systems trying to get to the truth. It took a long time to come out of works and learning to follow the Spirit, that it really doesn't matter. You know, when old Doc said, roads, we don't need roads. Well, I'm telling you this, we don't need buildings. We don't need institutions. We don't need anything, but whatever the He says to you, do it. That's all we need. That's how Jesus operated. It may be in this teaching, I don't know. I may have written some of that down. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to read it again for whoever's benefit it might be on this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Somebody comes up to you and says, what am I supposed to do? Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's what you're supposed to do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's so many today that are crying out for God to help them, but they won't turn from their wickedness. They're living in the flesh. They're doing it their way. And they think, well, God just should answer and should do it. It don't work that way. Now, somebody that's a sinner, God, Jesus healed people that weren't in the right place. But I don't think He did it for the rest of their life. I believe something was, they had to come to their reckoning of laying themselves down on the altar and hearing God's plan and renewing their mind to move forward. Yeah, I believe salvation, healing, it's obvious. Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That is God's calling card to receive salvation. I believe that. It says, and be not conformed to this world. See, one can operate. You can't operate in the world and its ways and expect to receive the benefits of the kingdom. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Every person has an obligation. And I believe the ones over there in Matthew 7 that said, Lord, we did all this, prophesied in your name, did mighty wonders and mighty works in your name. And He'll say, who are you? That's going to be a sad day for a lot of people, especially Christian people. You know, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. We took what they said do and did it, and it was a work. If someone takes it and they're following the Spirit, then, you know, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. And maybe the ministers did it right. I don't know. But we limit God in our life. It absolutely cuts off the life flow of God in your life to do works. Oh, goodness. If people do not do this, then they will keep on with works of the flesh and doing outward things and think they're doing God's will. God's will. Instruction will now be coming from His new temple, you. You will hear from God for you inside the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay, go to John chapter 4. A lot of people have problems with this, especially in structured religious formats. Ah, oh no. Take our money away. Oh no, our big congregation, our prestige. I was thinking about that when the visitation came this morning about, that's probably going to the people that do come and they are called to be pastors when they hear, not over 20. When you grow to 20, then start dividing. You know, this isn't a money-making deal. No, this is a life of sacrifice, is what it is. It's not going to be pleasant to hear for a lot of people, especially those that have been raised in structured religious formats. 20 people? Okay. John 4. Verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. We know who this is about, the woman at the well. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life, or everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. He's given her an example of this living water coming up out of him as he is ministering to this woman. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Like Stephen saying, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Peter saying, We don't worship anymore in temples made with hands. What does that do to the religious institutions? It just rips them all up. Was it Peter that said that anyway when they were arrested? No, Stephen said that too. Also, I think they said that whenever the lame man at the gate. Anyway, doesn't matter. Jesus was saying that the old temple worship was going away and a new time was coming when God would live in the spirits of men. That's what the new birth is all about. He could come out of the box and go into his new temple, the one that's not made with hands. Satan fights this hard to keep the sons of God from manifesting because when they do, he's done. He's done. A few more scriptures. Romans chapter 8. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. We can't live after the flesh. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Plain and simple, right out there and open. Nothing hidden right there. Chapter 9 of Romans. Verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promises are counted for the seed. Those that believe the word of God, keep it. Do it. Verse 14 there. Wait a minute. 13 there. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? One embraced God's will and plan, the other didn't. He wanted to go his own way. All right, verse 32 and 33 of 9. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whoever believes on him. Walking by the inward witness. Turn back to chapter 7 a minute, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Not ordinances written on stone, but written on the heart. The law of God after the inward man. God's written those laws on our hearts, right? 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. It's all about the inner walk. Now go back to Romans. I guess I should have put that up there with Romans. This is chapter 2, 28 and 29. But he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Oh, it makes some people mad with that one this morning for sure. But he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And this whole bunch is called the New Jerusalem. We're Jews. Just said. Not by natural birth, but by spiritual birth. People don't like to hear that. Why? They're steeped in religious tradition. Passed it on for generations to generations. It's not the truth. Everything from God comes from the inward man and not the outward. It's not outward signs. Now he does miracles, yes. He will do signs and wonders, but it's coming from the inside. Judge everything by the witness of the inward man. You will not fail if you live this way. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Jude 23. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The ways of God are not the ways of the flesh. Even if it's an outward manifestation of God doing something through someone, it's still in the spirit. It's not in the flesh. This is why God has not been able to turn the power up, because the flesh gets in the way and messes up everything. Because if you don't have an understanding of this, you can't help yourself but react in the flesh and do things in the flesh. If you've been brought up in that system, that's what you naturally do. That's why the Lord has taken such painstaking, and I mean that literally, painstaking, to get us to the place that we do what He says from the inside and we do not do anything from the outside. He's done us a favor. Like I said, further down the road, we're going to see it a whole lot different than we see it today. Today, we're just dealing with the pain. Feel like you're getting burned up. You know what I'm saying? You are. You're getting burned out of your things that God's not pleased with. It could hinder you down the road. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Eight. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Big difference. That's why the apostles bring correction. It hurts, and a lot of people don't want to hear it, and they want to rebel against it. Kind of like the man taken in adultery. Excommunicating from your fellowship. Oh, that's so harsh. You're just so harsh. You know what? It's better to be harsh or receive harshness than to be dead. Somewhere down the road, because you wouldn't listen, God couldn't help you. Because you wouldn't receive His correction, because you got personal. Lord, help us today. Putting this old flesh under is a painful process. Boy, don't I know it. I'm thinking, dear Lord, didn't know I had so much flesh to burn up. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth in Him, glory in the Lord. It's God doing it inside of you. It ain't nothing that you've done. He don't call them mighty, because they get in their mightiness, gets in His way. Not by might, not by power, but by Spirit. It's the way it's got to be. It's time for us to stop kicking against the goads. You know, fighting the will of God and just constantly battling. You might as well just lay down on that altar and let it burn. I mean, that's all I can say. Acts chapter 9. This is the story of Saul. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that he that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And I seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. That would disqualify most, wouldn't it? But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to hear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. The things he must suffer. We all know about Paul's painful journey, but he made it. And he received that revelation from God that we all look to today. This was the way that Jesus operated, and the religious leaders of his day had a fit. They couldn't take it. They couldn't stand it. Why? Well, they were no different then than they are now. Not all, but a lot of them, it's a money-making deal. They merchandise the anointing. You know what? It's hard to do that when you got 20 or less in your flock. If you look at a natural shepherd, they stayed with the sheep day and night, heat and cold. They stayed out in the field with those sheep. They smelled like a sheep. They had small flocks. Why? They were there to keep the wolf away. What about building large congregations and prestige? Now I'm part of it, man. I'm at the top. No, you're not. If you're not at the bottom, you ain't at the top. You will never be at the top, not of what God has. It's those that are at the bottom right there at the top, because they know they're nothing. But they stick with those sheep day and night. Rain, shine, snow, whatever. They stick with those sheep. And their whole life is consumed with shepherding those sheep. Making sure the wolf don't get any of them. With these massive congregations, there's no way, unless you've got a whole staff of home group pastors or whatever doing stuff like that, there's no way with a big congregation that you can do it without under shepherds. There's no way. The whole system is all off, and it has been for a long time. Well, that's fixing to change. For those who will hear the Spirit and do what the Spirit says do, Mark chapter 2. Start with verse 1 there, just a minute. And again, this is Jesus here. He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that it was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him to bring in one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Rather, it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I'm venturing to say, have we even seen it on this fashion in our lifetime? I haven't. Okay, 21 here. Same chapter. No man also saw the piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. Here's that repentance we're talking about. A change of heart. Flesh versus spirit. That's what it's all about. Old guard versus new guard. Chapter 3 here. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. When he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. And Jesus drew himself with his disciples to the sea. A great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sodom, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, and as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. The old guard just couldn't. They were so jealous they wanted to kill him. They didn't care about the power of God. They cared about the money. That's what they cared about. The true people of God hear his voice and obey his voice. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' pulpit was wherever the Holy Spirit led him. On the beach, on the mountainside, in houses, in the temple, at a well. This is the mission field. And as an apostle and team, we are ambassadors of the gospel. Instant in season and out of season. We don't need pretty buildings to do that. Bands or choirs either. In Acts, they met in homes. They broke bread from house to house. In this world system, you must be organized and incorporated to be thought legit. This is what caused the religious leaders of Jesus' day to want to kill him. He didn't do it according to the traditions of the fathers. No, he did it according to his father. He followed the Spirit. Romans chapter 10. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire, let me see how many verses, okay. The prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus came to bring it to all. But religious traditions get in the way. We've all had religious traditions, all of us. Romans 11, 5 and 6 here. Even so then at this present time also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. In other words, when you do grace, it's not work. But when you do works, it's not grace. So if you want the grace of God to flow in your life, don't do works. The Holy Spirit was eased out of the church as the government stepped in. The Johnson Amendment brought the church under the beast system. How do we free ourselves from the beast? Follow the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 7, it talks about, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to go over there. It talks about the sealing of the tribes. And I've already told you, who's the real Jew? The one that's inward, not outward. It's the sealing of the 12 tribes, which are the foundations of the New Jerusalem. This is people. After the sealing of these tribes, verse 9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence they came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We've come out of great tribulation. Great tribulation. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. There we be. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, or any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Sounds like the blood bought to me. Thank you, Jesus. Sealed and ready to obey whatever the Spirit says. They're before His throne day and night. That's their life. They don't have anything else but Him. And that's more than enough. What good is it if you have the whole world and you lose your own soul? No good at all. John 14, then we'll be done. Jesus said this in John 14. Starting with verse 10 there. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we're just waiting for orders, and we'll just do whatever He tells us to do. Right?